Got some hilarious news about a popular gas station chain that is being sued by the government, the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, which is the government agency that sues businesses if they're discriminating against employees or against applicants. Because this Sheetz gas station chain, which is very popular in parts of the country, doesn't hire criminals. So they're being sued. But it gets even better because they don't hire criminals. Everybody knows who is affected the most.
Sheetz is being sued over its hiring practices. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed the suit this morning. It claims that the way Sheetz bases employment on criminal records disproportionately screens out Black, Native American, and other multiracial applicants, and that this violates federal law. The suit does not accuse Sheetz of being motivated by race when making hiring decisions.
So the government admits that they're not passing over applicants because of their race. It's only because they are convicted criminals. But the uncomfortable truth is obviously a certain demographic of Americans, 13% of the population, are responsible for 50% of the crime in the country, 10 times the amount of crime per capita than white people. And so because Sheetz doesn't want to hire convicted criminals, now they are racist. And in order to try to prevent the NYPD from arresting so many criminals who are Black, because when analyzing crime statistics broken down according to race, obviously it doesn't reflect very well on a certain group of people, now they've implemented a new policy where the officers have to document the race of every suspicious person who they happen to come across or question, which is obviously designed to cause police to just ignore Black criminals in order to try to keep that 1350 statistic a little bit lower. They figure if they let more Black people get away with committing crimes, then it will even out those racial crime statistics that are so uncomfortable for people to look at. Of course, that won't stop the crime, but it will cause faulty statistics to be published by government agencies, which will, on paper, look much better. Meanwhile, over at the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Lawyer Union, technically they call themselves the American Civil Liberties Union. It's that group of leftist lawyers who are always suing Christian businesses and Christian organizations. They fired an Asian lawyer who worked there for 5 years after she complained to her superiors about the hostile behavior of several of her Black coworkers. And instead of reprimanding those Black coworkers or firing them for creating a hostile work environment, they fired her. The ACLU said her complaints about several superiors, all of whom were Black, used racist stereotypes. Again, it's a stereotype to call like an angry Black woman an angry Black woman. There's a whole Wikipedia page about it. So that's something you definitely should not say at the workplace. She was fired in May of 2022, but now there's a lawsuit. She's suing them for wrongful termination. The ACLU acknowledges that Ms. Oh, who is Korean American, never used any kind of racial slur. But the group says that her use of certain phrases and words demonstrated a pattern of willful anti-Black animus. This is the same thing that happened to Uber's head of diversity. Remember this? She also is an Asian woman, and she held a talk about how Black people need to stop calling their white coworkers Karens, because it is an anti-white slur. And so they complained that she was being racist against them, and so Uber suspended her. In other idiotic news, actress Molly Ringwald, who was one of the stars of The Breakfast Club, about a bunch of kids who had to come into school on a Saturday to serve detention, is apologizing because, well, obviously, they were all white and there was no diversity.
Those movies, the movies that, you know, are I'm so well known for, they were very much of a time, you know, and
a much better time.
And if you were to remake that now, I think it would have to be much more diverse, and it would have to be, you know, you couldn't make a movie that white now. No, those movies are really, really very white.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but she thinks that there is. That's the problem with those movies.
And they don't really represent, you know, what it is to be a teenager in a school in America today, I don't think. So, you know.
Of course, if they remade The Breakfast Club today, it wouldn't look anything like this. The only white kid would have to be gay, and they probably wouldn't even remake it because they would be struggling over not depicting any stereotypes at all based off of who they would cast for the characters, because they couldn't cast a black guy as the thug, as the tough guy. That would be a terrible stereotype. They couldn't cast an Asian person as the smart kid, as the nerd, as Anthony Michael Hall's character, because that would be another stereotype as well. But if they did remake it, you know that the struggles that the non-white characters were facing would all be wrapped around race and how they're living in a white country where there's racism around every corner. What made the film so good is that it wasn't about race, because racism isn't a problem in the United States. Well, it wasn't the problem until recently. Now anti-whiteism is systemic, but you get the point. It depicted the various different kinds of students that you often find at schools. The tough guy, the jock, the weirdo, the pretty rich girl, the smart nerd. And it showed some of the misconceptions that each one of them had about others based off of the category or the stereotype that they were. Of course, black filmmakers can make films and do make films about black kids and black schools and the problems that they face, the struggles that they have, but God forbid a filmmaker depict a group of white students in a predominantly white school and some of the issues that they're facing. And graduation time is just around the corner, and so colleges across the country are doubling down on their segregated graduation ceremonies because at many major schools, black students don't feel comfortable celebrating their big day with white students, and so they have black-only graduation ceremonies for them. What else is interesting is if white students were to express that they were glad that the black students who didn't want to be around them were going to have their black-only graduation ceremony. Not all the students go over there. It's only like the big black power, black identity extremist ones. A lot of the black students, or some of them at least, still go to the general graduation ceremony because their identity isn't wrapped up around their race. But if the white students expressed they were glad that there weren't going to be so many black students around for their big day, of course, they would be denounced as racist. If you think that it's weird that they're having a black-only graduation ceremony, then they'll call you a racist. Everything is racist. And mark my words, April 25th, 2024, it's only a matter of time before leftist news outlets and the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, include the low-battery smoke detector beeping memes on their list of supposedly racist things. Now, it's a miracle that these memes, and this phenomenon, really, has flown under their radar for so long. But at some point, the liberal media is going to catch wind of this phenomenon and these memes. And they're going to write up an article about how terrible it is and how racist they are. And it's going to be fantastic. And if you still don't get it, don't worry, you will. A lot of people have been wondering about this, and so on the website Quora, which has people posting questions, seeking answers, somebody asked, why don't black people change their smoke detector batteries? And the top answer is, you know, this is actually a pretty good question, and I can't claim to know the answer to it, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I play online games a lot, and we always have voice communication without fail, I swear. Every time I hear the smoke detector beeping in the background, it's always a black person the sound is coming from. And believe me, I've asked. The reason it became a meme and why your favorite YouTuber in his kitchen on a laptop may occasionally add the sound to clips of certain kinds of people on MSNBC and CNN is because there is a certain demographic in America who never learned, because there was no father in the house, that when the smoke detector battery is low and it starts beeping, that you're supposed to change the battery. You're not supposed to just leave it run out and then have the smoke detector without a battery at all. And it became a meme because when a certain demographic of people do interviews, like this guy, remember him? Oftentimes, You will hear it.
The lawyer said it was very nice, and they knew I wasn't taking them serious.
Like that. That I didn't add in. That one was there. That's original. Normal people, when they hear such a thing, they immediately change the battery because they usually have a spare battery or two in a drawer somewhere in the kitchen, specifically for cases like this. But other people never grew up with fathers in their home, and they didn't learn about how to take care of the home, and so they just never learned these things. And if you want to learn some things that aren't allowed to be said on the big tech platforms, join my exclusive locals community by clicking the link in the description below for $5 a month. It's like a private Facebook page. It's a members-only social media platform, but it's owned by Rumble, so it allows free speech. And that's where I will post all of the spicy clips that definitely wouldn't be allowed on YouTube, and some commentary that wouldn't be allowed on Facebook. And it's a great way to sponsor my channel and get some exclusive content that a little too controversial for the big tech platforms. So click the link in the description below, head on over there, and check it out.